Thanks for tuning in to our feature story interviews for the Midwest Cattlemen. Here is our feature story from the January 2025 issue on cattle handling techniques called Shoot Side versus Saddled Up, featuring Dr. Ron Gill.
Morning, Dr. Gill. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for taking the time to visit with me this morning.
Not a problem.
So the article that we're working on, it's kind of, comparing cattle handling, or sorry, excuse me, cattle working methods, using horses versus using corral system, chute, all the different equipment. So I know with you being the handling expert that you are, I'm sure you have some great insight to the equipment side of things, and the benefits and drawbacks and questions and everything. So that's kind of where I want to spend our time focusing this morning.
Okay.
So I'll just jump right into it if you're good with that.
I'm good with it.
Awesome. So why do producers choose to work cattle with a working facility rather than the more traditional methods such as horseback?
Well, for the most part, even the people that use horses a lot of times will take those cattle to working facilities for a lot of the activities that need to be done. But there are times, with like branding that traditionally ranches in the western half of the United States will rope calves and bring them in for branding and processing and that kind of stuff. Now, when they get larger than that or working the cows, they'll normally bring those into facilities as well, but they'll use horses to bring them into those corral systems. So the horse is just a vehicle to get cattle in to do some of that stuff. In other locations where we'd use equipment, what we'd call calf tables, some people just mug them and lay them on the ground, basically the same way you would if you were rope and drag branding, as we call it. And so the reason that a lot of people don't use horses is they're not comfortable doing it. They can't get people that are really good hands with horses. And then the other people around that need to know and understand and how to be safe around a horse as well. So most of them that have switched to equipment, particularly on the calf side, is just for ease of handling. It takes less labor. Not a whole lot, but there are some differences in how many people you need when you're using a calf table or some other processing equipment. And you can process a lot of calves just in squeeze chutes as well. So depending on the size of the calf, to me it's much easier to use a calf cradle or table, whatever you want to call it, to lay those calves down and process them. It's fairly safe to do that for the calf and the people. There's always a risk of injury if something getting kicked or hand smashed, and that's one reason a lot of people that work horseback don't like that kind of equipment, because you can get hurt by the equipment itself. But there's always that risk on horses. It's just a different risk as well. So it just comes down a lot of times to personal preference, and then even more so to how much labor do you have? How many cattle do you have to work in a given period of time? Because normally processing through a calf cradle or table is a little bit slower than if you've got a big branding crew where you've got several people roping calves and bringing calves to the branding fire. That can go really pretty quick. And so it just depends on what your interest is, really, as to what you'd use.
So I know our audience is, primarily in the Midwest, Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, Arkansas being the majority of our readership. And, while there are definitely operations that are utilizing horses, and I think probably more than we realize, it does seem like the squeeze chute, alley, tub, pen setup is just very, very common throughout our producers and other operations. I know you kind of compared some of the practices on the Western operations. Do you see it being any different reasoning or even maybe more applicable on Midwest operations for the equipment usage versus more the traditional style?
Well, to me, it's important to what the skill level of the people helping you. If you got people helping you that are not good horsemen, don't ride good horses, well trained, then it can get very unsafe working cattle horseback. So, to me, it comes down to what can you do with the crew you have and the skill levels they have. You know, as you move west, the tradition of ranching, and that's one of the enjoyments a lot of ranchers have in the West, is that rope and horseback culture. And if that's what helps keep good hands on those ranches to allow them to practice those skills, then it's probably best to let them practice those skills and have that enjoyment, because it's pretty mundane work otherwise. And people look forward to the branding season because they get to, one, have a sense of community and camaraderie, and it's a you don't want to make it too much of a social event, because you've got to get calves worked, and you get too many people around, it actually makes it worse. So trying to decide what the right size of a branding crew might be is pretty important. And that's the same on if you're using equipment. If you use equipment, you don't want a lot of extra people around either, but you want a job for everybody that's there, and everybody doing their, the routine, so the steps don't get missed or duplicated in vaccinations and that kind of stuff. So it just kind of depends on what your skill level is, what you're trying to do. But there are a lot of ranches that are trying to incorporate horseback brandings back into their operation. One is the draw of the traditional aspect of ranching and using horses, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. The stress level on the calves can be very low using horses. Just depends, once again, on the skill level of the people doing it. I've seen horseback brandings that were really bad, and I've seen some that are extremely good, and the same thing can be said about those working them in equipment. And so it's just a matter of the people and the processes as to which one might be better on the calf or the cow.
So, looking at the cattle equipment of chutes and sorting pins and the tubs or boxes and really utilizing that for all of your working, whether it's cows or calves, what do you see as the biggest advantages to that approach across the board? Why is that a really good option for some producers?
Well, if you've got good equipment, and it can be very safe, and it can be very low stress on the calves, it takes less people normally if you've got good equipment to do that, as we stated earlier. So to me, it's whether or not you've got the skill level, one, to do that. Sometimes we don't have enough skill level to even process and play the equipment. But if you do, then you can use that for multiple purposes. You can process your cows, your bulls, and your calves through the same basic facilities. Now, we normally recommend they build a separate component to work calves in, because you don't want a lot of calves lined up for 30 to 40 minutes in a chute or a lead up to a chute before you process them. So you'd like to have just one or two ready to go all the time, just to keep the stress down. So, I normally will build a little offshoot of the normal processing area that we can work calves through very smoothly and efficiently. And that way they're in there for a short period of time, the stress level's pretty low, and then they go back into their herd mates. So, some people will not do that. If they've got a small herd and just a small processing area, there's probably not any reason to do that. But if you're processing very many, it makes sense to go ahead and spend the time and effort to make a really good calf processing offshoot to your main processing area. And one, you can use all the rest of your facility, but when you get to the processing area, you just divert those calves into a little different setup.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Do you see certain components of that system, whether it's the chute or the alley or bud tub, any part of it? Do you see them having a, what's the best way of putting this? Bigger benefit to some operations? For example, is a squeeze chute, even if you don't have the best alleyway and tub, is a really good squeeze chute more beneficial, or is a tub going to be, more helpful in those situations? Is there certain pieces that really add to the efficiency of a working system from that standpoint?
To me, the most critical component of that working system, and that's not to say the others aren't important. We can address that too, but the chute is really important. One, it's where most people will get hurt if it's not a good one. And if it has any potential to not hold or handle flying around, or it's not set up to where you can get in and give shots where you need to. You can crush hands. You can do all sorts of things in those chutes. We did a deal years ago looking at all the safety hazards on a squeeze chute, and there are numerous areas where you can get hurt on a squeeze chute. And so, to me, the investment in that, at least a good head gate that can securely hold their head, is critical. Some of the smaller operations may not be able to afford a or justify a really good squeeze chute, but they can get a really good head gate that allows them to be as safe as possible in that. So that's where I'd start with, and then I would build back from that. The alley that leads up to the chute is probably next on my list. It needs to be adjustable to where cattle cannot turn around in it. A lot of people don't have adjustable alleyways, and then cows can try to turn around a lot of times. They may not be able to, but then calves can turn around. So if you put very many of them in there, then they start turning around, and it just makes for a very long day trying to keep those calves face the right direction and going into the process and shoot, one at a time. So if it's not adjustable down to about 12 inches wide, a lot of times you can't keep little calves from turning around in one of them. So that's something that I'd put the second money on that. Even if I just had a head gate, that would be adjustable all the way to the head gate. And then I think a lot of people put a lot of emphasis on the tubs or bud flow tubs or bud boxes or whatever they need want to call them. But to me, you can get cattle through any of those systems. It's from there to the chute where we see more issues. Now, I will be the first to admit that a properly designed sweep tub is much better than one that's not properly designed. Understanding how to use a bud box, they're all basically designed the same, but where you have to change is how the person works it. And a lot of times people won't change how they work cattle, and therefore the bud box doesn't work very good and it's unsafe. So I certainly don't recommend everybody put in a bud box unless they're going to change the way they work cattle. Because most people are used to pushing cattle, and you can't push cattle out of a bud box without being in an unsafe area. So I'd much rather them use a little sweep tub where they can control the movement of the animals and get them into their chute than I would be have them in a bud box. And if the cattle are real gentle, they don't like flowing out of a bud box. So you have to have some movement in the cattle to make those work real well. You can get gentle cattle out of them. It's just a little frustrating sometimes. So I don't think there's any one system that's better than others. There's some that are worse than others, maybe. And a lot of the commercially built and marketed sweep systems don't take advantage of the natural tendencies of cattle, and some of them do, but not very many. And so then you've got to figure out how you can reposition yourself to make that system work better and get it to work. So, Dr. Grandin used to always say she thought she could engineer processing areas where It was basically human independent, regardless of who was working, it worked good. Even she's admitted that you still have to train the people how to use it. And engineering only gets you so far, but there's still people using that equipment. So I think that's been an interesting turn in her over her career is to look. We cannot ignore the human element of that, even on a really good design system.
What are some key pieces to design of a tub or a box? You mentioned that a, properly designed tub, is better than one that's not, and then, some of the stuff just isn't quite built to cattle standards. What is the ideal criteria or design that you're looking for in a system like that?
What I want to see, and whether it's a tub or a bud box or whatever, cattle have a tendency when you push them past where you want them to go, they'll flow back easier. And if you think about Dr. Grandin's sweep systems, they go around the pivot post and flow back out basically the same direction they came in. With a bud box, you take them to the end of the bud box and they turn around and flow back around you and out basically the same direction they came in. So either one of them makes perfect sense to a cow. Where we've got issues is where we've shortened that up, where cattle don't flow back. And a lot of them will have to flow out the top of the tub or out the far side of the tub, and it's not really back the direction they came from. And so there's, if you don't have them coming around the pivot point, whether it be a person or a post, they don't have that flow back tendency to them. They'll actually just start circling in a sweep tub, which is one of the more common complaints about tubs is cattle get in there and they go to turning circles. Well, it's because we've not positioned ourselves in the right place to help them find the opening and realize that's the safer and less stressful thing to do is to just get out of there rather than circle. So that's something we try to train people on, regardless of what kind of system they have. They have to figure out where they need to be to get the cattle to flow out of it. And you can make those other systems work fairly well if you just know that and accept that and have somebody positioned where that basically cattle can come around you and come out of that system.
That makes a lot of sense. I would say that probably a lot of producers don't realize those details. They're used to the equipment doing the job for them and don't really acknowledge the fact that their placement and their position can contribute positively or negatively to how that equipment actually functions and moves cattle.
Oh, absolutely. And a lot of them will design, catwalks, for example, where, these solid sided tubs where people can get up on the outside of the tub. And it's actually on the complete opposite side of the tub as to where the people need to be. And so it's designed to put people in the wrong place. And so it's sometimes it's hard to convince somebody just because there's a catwalk over there, it doesn't mean you need to be over there. But that's where we fight sometimes, not really fight, but we have to really talk about how that can affect the flow of those cattle through that system. So it's one of those deals where it's really, we're getting some pretty good arguments with the equipment manufacturers because they want to sell what they manufacture, not necessarily manufacture what needs to be manufactured. And I hate to be mean to them, but some of them produce some equipment that just really doesn't work very well. And because they've got so much invested in it, they don't really try to change to make them better. And it wouldn't take a whole lot sometimes to do that. But that's one of those constant battles we have with getting people to understand how to use equipment and how to do it in the best manner that you possibly could. And I mean, pick on the equipment manufacturers, but some of the systems that are portable that have a sweep tub, a little alleyway, and a chute in them, there's really no way to design that to where it's all going to fit together and go down the road and be right. That makes sense. And so sometimes what we're asking them to do just doesn't really make sense to design them what's in the best interest of the cow. So then it's on the people to learn how to work those things differently.
Yeah.
And so once again, don't mean to pick on the equipment manufacturers, but there's some of them that just really won't listen to what is the problem with some of their equipment. And I wish they would, because
Yeah,
it would make things a little simpler sometimes. But one, just training people how to use that equipment to get cattle to flow out of it a little bit better. But that's probably a whole other story right there is how you
Well,
get
it
that
actually
done.
kind of leads right into my next question of, what are the limitations to working cattle in a designated facility, whether that's portable or permanent, and what can people do to overcome those limitations?
Well, most of the time the design is part of the issue, but if we understand behavior of the cattle, we can get nearly every one of them to work better. And so if we focus on working cattle more from the front and the side rather than pushing them from behind, because if we're pushing cattle from behind, they have a tendency to want to turn around and face us until we put an excess amount of pressure, and then they'll go away from us out of fear. So if we can get positioned where we can draw their eye to see the opening where we want them to go, they're much likely, more likely to come past us and out that opening. And so rather than push from behind, we try to draw their attention where we want them to go, and then you can step down their side and get them to move forward. So it's pretty, that's about as simple as you can get it. Some facilities make it easier to do that than others. We've gotten so hung up on things having to be solid sided that sometimes the cattle can't even see us if we're in the right place. And so that makes it even more difficult. So sometimes we need less solid sides to make cattle work better. If we have distractions and we can cover that up, and that way they can focus on us and not on things on the outside of the system. So you kind of have to look at where you're, what you've got and why you're having problems, because nearly every setup presents some very unique issues. And then trying to figure out what that is, because you can't say, well, all systems are this way, and so you got to do all of them this way. That's just not the case. And so there are ways to kind of work around that once you get to work in that system and find out where the cattle aren't flowing through it and figure out why they aren't flowing through it. And some of that may actually go back to the way the cattle are handled in the pastures and in the corrals and in the sorting alleys and everything leading up to that. If we're consistent in how we ask them to move, by the time we get to the working facilities, it makes sense to them. And so if we've taught them to come past us out of the gates, out of the corrals, or anything else where we've changed point of balance where cattle are not afraid to come by us, it helps to get them to come around us and out of processing areas. And if you think about the processing area, cattle have to pass by people to get out of there. And so if we start that training back in the corral system and in the pasture, then we can really get consistent in how we ask livestock to work. And from that end, it gets very easy to ask them to do something when they know what we're asking them to do.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That it reminds me of, whenever you're working cow calf pairs, you can tell that over time, the more that you work those calves, the more that they begin to kind of figure things out. And your first time or two in the facility, they don't have a clue what's going on. And by the time they're, a year old or whatnot, they're kind of starting to figure out how to respond to you and how to move to the facility and begin to kind of learn a few things. And I'm sure it's Sure, that's the case with any type of cattle, but I've, obviously you see that more so with the calves, it seems like.
We've had a chance to train the cow for years if she's been in our herd, and so that we can use the cow to help train the calf as well, if we're just consistent in that. But normally you're starting cow calf pairs, the calf hangs back because he's not comfortable coming by, so that makes it easy to sort the calf. Or,
Right.
and then you can teach them to push off and, go down the fence instead of out the gate. And so, you're absolutely correct. Every time we handle them, we can make them better. And over a lifetime, if you're real consistent in how and what you ask them to do, they get pretty easy to work. It's no different than anything we want to do, certain things like stock dogs or horses, we have to train them. Cattle, for some reason, we don't think we need to train. We just develop facilities that we can force them to go through rather than train them to go through it.
That's an interesting concept. And I find too sometimes, and this I guess is more a personal opinion than anything, but if you look at permanent versus portable systems, or even just systems that consist of portable panels, which is kind of what our operation is more built around, it's almost like you can, with the permanent system, it's got to be set up right the first time, or you're always going to have trouble. With any type of portable, you can either make it really good by adjusting it, or you can make it really bad by setting up the wrong way. But at least you can kind of have some flexibility to. Have you seen that as well on operations?
And a lot of times we'll set those portable ones up a certain way in one location. We'll change it when we put them in another because of spatial issues or whatever it might be. And so sometimes it's better, sometimes it's worse. But if you, regardless of that, you can normally, if you think through it, this flow back part of it, you can send cattle into one pen. You want them to go to the next one. If they come back kind of the direction you put them into that first one, it kind of gets to be a sweeping motion going through the system. And that's where a lot of these prefab deals, you don't have that capability a lot of times. It's kind of a static design. And some of these wheel corrals, some of them are really pretty good. Some of them are less conducive to getting cattle to flow through them. So it's been kind of fun. I think I've worked every type of portable corral system there is. And some of them do work quite a bit better than others. And it's just basically how it's designed and laid out and those panels roll out. But all of them work. It's just you got to figure out where the sweet spot is to get things done the way you need it to be done.
What are ways that producers can ensure their livestock and their crew is staying safe when they're handling and processing cattle through a chute system?
The biggest thing that we see happen is if cattle are reactive to people, are fearful of people, they'll overreact and either kick or run over you or push you up against something. So being able to keep the cattle where they're not fearful of the human, excuse me, is so important because if they are fearful, there's three things. I used to say there's two F's, fight or flight, but there's actually a third one, which is freeze. And sometimes cattle just will not move if they can't understand what you're asking. And so it's important to not elicit any of those responses. You sure don't want them on the fight. You sure don't want them trying to run over you. And you certainly want them to flow through the system. So if they ever stop thinking and start reacting, I say you want them to respond but not react to you. That's subtle difference sometimes. But to me, cattle that are predictable in how they're going to respond to pressure are safer. They're not fighting the facilities, they're not fighting you. And it just gets safer and easier to get them through the system. So that all starts with them being able to take the pressure within a small area. If you think about, cattle out in the pasture are normally pretty gentle. You get them in corrals, they get a little more fractious. You get them in alleyways, they tend to move faster. Then you get them into sweep systems, which is even more confining than single file alleyways, and then finally put them individually into a chute system. So we just ramp up the pressure on those animals And they have to realize that if they go through this, there's a release of pressure down at the end of that chute. And so some of them will tolerate all that other pressure very easily because they know when they get to the chute, it's all over with. Some cattle are so fearful to even go in the tub that they'll run over you rather than go in the tub. And then when you get in the chute, they go to fighting that. They run over the top of other cattle, flip over backwards. Any kind of those behaviors you're seeing is because those cattle can't take that confined pressure and they don't feel a release. So just like training anything else, we've got to have enough pressure to get them to do it, but also the ability for them to take that pressure off quick enough. You know, I said earlier, you didn't want calves lined up behind the chute, waiting to be processed too long. Well, the same thing's true on cows. You don't want them in that chute system more than 2 or 3 minutes max. And so that how many you stack behind the chute is dictated by how fast you can get them out the other end. And so you don't, I think you need probably three behind the chute just to get better flow. But when you, if you're going pretty slow, you don't want to get very many more than that, or you won't get them processed quick enough to where they can feel that release of pressure. So there's all sorts of little nuances to that, but realize that they've got to feel that release of pressure, or know that if they do this, they're going to get release of pressure as they go out the chute. And so a lot of them tolerate the sweep system very well just because they know they'll get in that chute system, we'll leave them alone, and then as soon as they get to the end of it, it's over with.
Yeah,
So
that makes a lot of sense. I hadn't really processed that, the intensity of that, but you're exactly right. And just, thinking of how you're working cattle, it's almost like the equipment is a double-edged sword sometimes because it allows you to have more control and more confinement to process safely and effectively, but it also provides more stress and more issue for problems for the certain kind of cattle. It's kind of like you got to have it to do it, but at the same time you got to treat the whole system and the animal with respect to avoid any issues and any problems because of that dynamic.
it's a very good way to put it. You're absolutely correct. And it's one reason a lot of people like to use horses and rope and drag because in some scenarios, the calves are never even separated from the cows until they are caught, they're taken to the branding fire, they're processed, and they turn them back in the herd. And so those calves are never separated from their mother very long. And some of these other systems, you got to sort the cows and calves. So if you don't do that right, that's stressful. And then you isolate them for a certain length of time before you even get them processed. And a lot of times they're processed and not put back with their mothers right away. And so there's all sorts of differences there from a stress standpoint. So the quicker you can get from the separation to the reintroduction back to the dam, the better off you are. And so some people will have, cows in with the calves. It may not even be that calf's mother, but there will be cows there that will help them calm down, or at least go back to the fence line where they can have the cows on the opposite side of the fence from where they come out of that branding area or processing area. So all those things, just line of contact helps reduce stress. So anything we can do to not increase stress any more than we have to, and there's going to be stress. There's no way to avoid that. And so we got to just try to keep it to a minimum, not in intensity and in duration. Because sometimes the duration may be a bigger issue than the intensity. Because we can undergo a lot of stress if it doesn't last long. But if that stress is perpetuated over time, then it gets to be more and more of an issue and release more cortisol and stress hormones, and that can suppress the immune system. And that's why, we see transportation in the marketing channel. That's where most of our sickness occurs, is because that's a long-term chronic stress. And we've got to figure out a better way to do that at some point in time, but that's another topic as well. But it can start, at the ranch. If you take too long to sort and load, that just adds to it. So
Well, I think that's a whole other topic that you could delve on because there is so many different facets to just low stress in any segment. It's a constant, I'll say a constant battle, but it's a constant thing that we have to work around and be aware of for sure.
And if we think about the way we handle livestock, if we don't take a systems approach to it from the time they're born till they're processed, I think we're making a mistake. So we try to get everybody to think, if you get your cattle working better at the cow-calf level than at the marketing channel or the stocker level or the feedlot, they know how to be handled. But if the people in those channels don't handle them right, then that's stressful. So if we can get everybody along the line to understand better cattle behavior, and that's where we spend most of our effort, is trying to get everybody across the value chain to understand that and work to improve it.
Absolutely. Taking a little step backward to some of your earlier comments, about training calves and just the dynamic of moving cattle through a system, especially if cattle are a little nervous or apprehensive about that pressure and about that confinement. If you've got some cows that, whether it's the result of not being handled a lot or not being handled well, early on, just for whatever reason, they don't do as good in a system. Is there a point where low stress, not so much low stress, but just proper handling and proper facility setup will not make a difference with those animals? Or do you believe that you can eventually help them become more comfortable and easier to work through the system by doing the right things over time? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I don't think you can fix that with facilities. I think you can fix it with the way people handle cattle through those facilities. Cattle that aren't handled very much, you have the issue of them not knowing how to take confinement pressure because they're in large spaces most of the time. So when you do get them in those more confined spaces, you have to be cognizant of that and realize that you've got to be very careful about how you apply pressure and that kind of stuff. So you can make those cattle actually work very good because it doesn't take much pressure for them to have a big response to it. And so, wilder cattle, you put very little pressure on what you perceive to be, but they feel a lot of pressure. Gentle cattle, sometimes you got to put a lot of pressure on them just to get them to do something, because they're almost lazy to the point that they don't want to respond to you. So a lot of times we'll see gentle cattle where you have to put a lot of physical pressure on them to get them to do something. But cattle that aren't handled very much, you don't take much to get a big response. And so that's where I see a lot of people, if they're around wild cattle, it seems like the people get wild. And that just perpetuates the problem. And so you see that with anybody's got an old fighting cow in the herd. Everybody focuses on that cow. Well, it's kind of like telling your spouse to calm down, by grabbing their head and shaking them and telling them to calm down. That doesn't work. And so you've got to allow that and take the pressure off that animal by ignoring them. Rather, you got to know where they're at, but focusing on them actually makes it much, much worse. And we see that in auction markets and other, and even at the ranch level, everybody wants to hoop and holler and do something to that old mean cow. But the best thing you can do is ignore and use the other cattle to get her to move. But that's just not within a lot of folks' nature to do that. So, but if you do, over time, they'll realize if they'll just go along with the other cows, then it's no big deal. And so they're kind of creating their own hysteria. But if you don't feed into that, they learn pretty quick that if they'll just go with the flow, they can get out of there and take pressure off. In fact, what we see a lot of times is those cattle, when you put pressure on a group, they're one of the first ones to flush out. And so if you do this as we try to get people to do, they'll be some of the first ones normally that come through the processing area, then they can go back out and have the pressure removed and be back with the herds quickly. if you're not real careful, you'll wind up with those cows being left at the end, is what we see a lot of times if we don't work them correctly. Because if we put pressure from the back, those cattle come to us. If we put pressure from the front, they go by us. That makes sense.
Yep, absolutely.
And so you can actually work them out of the herd quicker if you work them right and then get them through the system and get them out of the way, where you're not back there dealing with them all day long. And every time you deal with them, you make them worse, or you put more stress on, or reinforce that fear they have of a human because you're just constantly putting pressure on them. So.
But unfortunately, it seems like, if you got a herd of cows in the pen, they all get piled up. Those cows end up in the back corner, and whenever you try to start pushing them out, the ones in front are the ones that go first. So you can't ever get to that back cow, and she remains the last one in the pen for that very reason.
Yeah. Well, and that's where we change our technique. Instead of trying to push them out, we draw them out. And that way they're more likely to come out with some of the front, not necessarily the front, but somewhere prior to the end. You want to go ahead and get them out, because if they're at the end, it can be a dangerous situation where they get isolated with just themselves or a few animals. So you try to get those out quicker. Doesn't always work, but you can sure try.
Right, that's the goal anyway.
Yeah.
So I love how we keep feeding into my next questions just with through the conversation. So you just mentioned some mistakes, but what are kind of the biggest mistakes that you see producers make when they're working cattle through a shooter corral system?
They keep too much pressure on them. Once they get them going in the right direction, a lot of that can occur within the lead up to the shoot, because people have a tendency to stand too close to that area instead of take that pressure off. Remember I said earlier, the cattle will go through that sweep system or the bud box and get inside that single file alley, but because that's a release of pressure. But if we're always standing there putting pressure on them, they get to where they don't want to do that. And that's where we start seeing cows jump on top of one another, flip over backwards in the chute. A lot of times we're just putting too much pressure on them there. If we leave them alone, they're fine and they can work their way through the system. So it's the biggest mistake is not releasing pressure. And that's easily done, but if you're not paying attention, you can be putting pressure in an area that you're not really focused on. I also see that with the use of flags and paddles and whips. They're waving and they're putting pressure that you're not aware of, and it can really affect cattle. So there's nothing wrong with using them, but you have to be really aware of where they're at, and what they're doing. I've watched many processing crews at feed yards where somebody's got a flag and they don't think they're doing anything. The flag, they're standing still, but their flag's fluttering in the wind, and it's stopping movement of cattle or putting pressure on cattle that they're not aware of. So just the little things that add up on that pressure deal. And then the other thing I think is not positioning yourself for when the cattle come by you, they take pressure off rather than pushing cattle. That's easier to talk about, I guess, than actually kind of have to demonstrate it sometime. But if you're pushing from behind, for example, pushing cattle up an alleyway, the ones in the front are the ones that normally go to balking or stopping, but the ones in the back are the ones that take all the pressure. So you're not putting pressure on the ones that need it. You're putting pressure on the ones that you're trying to hold, the ones that need it in place till they decide to go. And so we really hoop and holler and sometimes strike those right in front of us, and they don't have a place to go. And that's where people get run over in the alleyway because we put too much pressure and we can't get those cattle. They don't have a place to go and take that pressure off. We do that loading trailers as well. If we're working from behind, that's another unsafe place. So we try to get people to think about working from the back of the trailer and having the cattle come around you to get on the trailer. Some people just can't make themselves do that, but it works better for loading cattle. If you can get the first one to jump, the rest of them are going to get on. And you're not pushing from the back and not being in position to get the first one to jump. Because we all know if that first one gets in, then the rest of them
They're
will normally
going.
go. So why not stay up there where you can get the first one on with the correct pressure and then draw the rest of them into the trailer?
So I know I've been to several workshops, multiple seminars, study low stress handling, try to incorporate as much of that on our operation as I can. So, to me, all of the tips and the tricks and just understanding cattle behavior, is I've heard most of it. I implement it. It seems natural common sense to me. And yet I see a lot of producers that have had cattle for sometimes 20, 30, 40 years that they work cattle like you're talking about. They're always pushing from behind. They're always hooping and hollering. They're always creating this environment of stress and difficulty. Whether it's in a system, whether it's in a loadout alley, whatever the case is, it just always seems to be this, we'll see how it goes type of scenario. Do you think that that is the result of an education, or is that the result of just not paying attention and changing how you're working your cattle based on what you're seeing? Because it's to me, it seems like those people should have enough awareness and common sense to realize, okay, this isn't going smoothly. We need to adjust everything, but that doesn't happen.
No, we normally blame it on the dumb cow,
Right.
stupid old cow. But a lot of it is just that's the way they learn to do it. Whoever they watch, that's what they did. So we repeat those same behaviors over and over. Some of it, if it is, they don't know that there's a different way to do it. Some of them that are very astute observers of behavior will figure it out on their own. But there's not that many of us that take the time to try to do that. And they can get the job done doing it the way they're doing it. And they may or may not care about the stress level. Some of them don't realize the role of stress and some of the other issues we have in the cattle industry, and some don't care, to be honest. So, and it's really hard to break behaviors. So if you've been doing it this way for 40 years, it takes a whole lot to admit to yourself there's an easier and better way to do this.
Right.
And some schmuck from out of state comes in here and tells me I can work cattle better. That doesn't set very well sometimes. So it's a easy for some people to see, and very difficult for other people. One, to see the difference. I go a lot of places and people say, why do we do all that? Well, you go watch them work and no, they do not do all
Yeah.
that. So sometimes the perception of what they're doing is very different than what somebody else is observing in that same scenario. Some of it's lack of self-awareness, I think. Some of it is just lack of knowing there's a different or better way. It goes back to being willing to accept input. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. Some people in agriculture are not very good at accepting input.
We're not talking about fertilizer and seed.
No. Personal, when it comes to a personal level, if you do something different, that's a tougher ask sometimes.
Right.
So that's something that I think plagues the industry as well. We're fiercely independent people to start with. So when somebody starts saying, well, you could do that better, you've got to be real careful about how you do that.
Yeah.
And that's something we've tried to really focus on is in our trainings is to not make it personal. We try to just show that there is a different way, ask them to go home and try it. If it doesn't work, they can always go back to doing what they were doing. But most of the time, they'll find a little scenario where it works better, and they say, well, that idiot, he may not have been as big an idiot as I thought he was. And then they'll start trying a little bit more of it and looking into it a little bit more. So it's a long-term change to get people to really change their behavior working livestock, particularly if they grew up around a certain way. I grew up in West Texas, and the way we worked cattle was very similar anywhere we went within that area. But when I left that area, it was very different. And that's what got me started trying to figure out why what we did worked so much better than what I ran into in other places. And we still weren't very good at the processing area. We still did most everything horseback, and we built a lot of corrals and new facilities and round facilities and sweet tubs that were not in that part of the country at the time. But they still didn't work very good. But looking back, it's because we didn't know how to make them work very good.
Yeah.
I'd like to go back and redo all that, but that's long gone. Those crowds are still there after
Right.
50 years, but they probably don't work any better unless we people change what they were doing.
Yeah, absolutely. What are some of the factors that you believe producers should consider when they're deciding, are they going to work cattle horseback, or are they going to invest in a designated facility and focus their efforts on handling cattle within a pen chute system?
First of all, I think you've got to realize, do you have the skill level and do you have the horsepower to make the horse deal work? And do you have enough people to supplement that through neighbors or hired labor or whatever? And if sometimes the hired labor won't necessarily do it the way you want to do it, they do it the way they want to do it. And that's actually why I quit using outside labor, is because they would not do things that I wanted done the way I wanted them done. And so we just went to using calf tables. And everybody assumes you're not a cowboy if you start doing that. But I'm not going to allow cattle to be injured just because somebody's hard-headed and not willing to do things different, because that's my income annually. So I got to protect that. So that's the first thing. And if you don't have the horsepower immediately, can you get trained? Can you train your horses to do it? The only way to get them trained is to practice, and that involves doing the process. So do you have the time to get them right, or send them to somebody and get them right, and then let them train you to use the horse correctly? Some of that just goes with ranch jobs where you're always on them and you've got a chance to rope stuff and get proficient at it. I think proficiency is the key word there. Because if you're not proficient at it, you add stress to the calves and to
Yeah.
the cows. So the really good crews, they don't miss hardly any calves when they're in there roping. And so it just gets to where it's just a very smooth, quick in and out with those calves, and you can get them processed. And that's what you're looking for. You don't want to create that stress by missing one, going back, or miscatching one and having to deal with that when they come to the fire too. That could be dangerous. So proficiency is very important, but we don't ever get good at it unless we practice. So that's something I don't think. You maybe take a small group of calves and practice on them. Get more proficient before you go to bigger groups. And it's no different than learning how to AI. You can't breed 100 head of cows day one, but you can breed five or 10. And then you get more proficient at it, you can breed more and more because you're not wasting time and energy in the process.
And if you can't find all that, you might as well go ahead and get a chute system.
Honestly, that's and sometimes using the chute system as you're getting proficient, you can practice those other things. When you think you're proficient enough at it, then switch. If you don't think you're going to get proficient at it, stay with the table. And sometimes you may go to a neighbor's place that is doing horseback, and if they'll let you rope a few there or practice there, that's a good thing. One, they can help school you and teach you what you're deemed to do, and you don't have to do it on your own, but you need to realize your limitations, and if you can't get the job done, you need to get out of the way. And that's where a lot of people are hard-headed, and they want to just keep trying and trying and trying when you're not very good and you're on somebody else's place. That's not a good thing either.
So I know we've covered this throughout all the different conversation, but just kind of wrap up. Are there any other tips or tricks that you think producers can use to just keep things running smoothly and efficiently in a working system?
One, the crew kind of has to all be on the same page. We hadn't really talked about it. We talked about individually, you've got to do this. But if you've got some people that don't understand what's going to happen or why you're doing it a certain way, they can sure mess things up. And so communication, I think, is key to getting people in the right spot at the right time. And understanding if they'll do some things a certain way, certain things will happen a certain way. And that's where, if you've got your own hired labor, you can kind of tell them what to do. If you're using neighbors or friends or family, you have to be careful about how you say that, or they may go to the house. And so, one, that early communication, but we all know we can lay out a plan, and rarely does it work in agriculture that we implement it the way we laid it out. But at least we've got something to start with. If it doesn't work, revamp, tell everybody what you'd like to try now, and go from there. Most of us just get mad and stomp around rather than actually communicate what we want to happen before we get into it, or during the middle of it when it's not going right. And I always argue that we can always be patient. We can tell people what needs to be done, but at some point in time, it's the other person's responsibility to understand it and get it. So that's where frustration comes. You've been told numerous times something needs to be done a certain way and you're not doing it, then somebody's going to get mad at you. And that's just nature. So.
I've always had a little personal distaste in, the comics or the memes or the shirts that talk about, apologize for what I said while working cows, or, the husband and wife working cows together and whatnot. And I understand the humor behind the sentiment because of the way that a lot of working environments and scenarios go. But every time I see that, the logical side of me goes, but that could all be avoided. It doesn't have to be that way.
No, but it there was, and it goes down to the communication, and sometimes the other person has to realize the plan didn't work, I'll tell this. My wife used to really not like working cattle with me because she couldn't understand me and hear me. And when I raise my voice enough that she can hear me, she thinks I'm yelling at her. And it took her years to realize I'm not yelling at you. I'm just trying to make sure you hear what I'm saying. And so we have a big joke about that now, but apparently for years, I just traumatized her because she thought I was yelling at her. But my voice doesn't carry very well. And the time I get loud enough, it sounds like I'm screaming at her. I'm sure it does. But she laughs
You
about it
gotta
now,
watch your
but she didn't
tone.
then.
You bet. Well, I think this has been a super insightful conversation, and I know there's a lot of things I've even gleaned, which is always the fun part about doing these interviews, is I always like to learn something myself, as well as what I'm able to pass on through the writing and work and everything. Is there anything else that you think is relevant to this conversation we haven't talked about, or anything that you want to add in final comments?
No, I think we've covered a lot of ground here. The thing is to just be open-minded. If you think you know everything there is about livestock handling, you don't. I'm the same way. I learn something every time I get around a good stockman, or a good dog person, or a good horseman. There's always some little something that's helpful. And so, the good get better. The bad sometimes stay bad, but it's because they don't want to change. And so be open-minded to something being a little different. You can try something at home without letting all your neighbors know you're trying to get better. That's kind of a joke. But a lot of times we're afraid to, because there is a culture around ranching. And when you try to do something different than your neighbors do, they try to get you back into the culture they're comfortable with. And we see that all the time in different ethnic groups as well. Some of the older guys will sabotage people trying to get better just so that they don't have to change, or that they can verify what they're doing is the best way to do it. So sometimes you got to learn how to work around that or work away from that, to be honest with you. Because if they're going to sabotage it all the time, it's best to not have them around.
I think that's a great point. And it's sometimes hard to to tell dad, and I've had to do this to my dad a few times, and he has always kind of had a little bit of a nervous attitude or in the pen around cattle, just, gets uptight, and obviously everything feeds off of that. And there's been times in the past where I've had to say, get out. You're making this worse. Get out. Be quiet. Let me do this. And it's hard to tell your family member, something that sternly, and then they feel like you're being bossy, that you're not respecting them, whatever. But there comes a time when what they are doing is more detrimental than if they weren't even present.
Yeah, and if people do not enjoy working livestock, they do not need to be working livestock. Some people do not like it. And when they go to the pen, they're upset to start with. The cattle feed off that, just like you said. They are very perceptive of our attitude. And so if your attitude's not right when you walk in the pen, even if you're a good stockman and your mind's on something else, you better get it fixed because cattle are not going to respond the same. And so that's
Absolutely.
a great point you made there. And sometimes that gentle parenting goes the opposite direction, like you said. But that's a tough one when you got to try to get family members to do things differently. That gets personal and stays at the dinner table way longer than it should sometimes.
Right. Well, Dr. Gill, thank you so much for your time, for your insight on this. I know it'll be very helpful, encouraging to our readers. And if someone wants to follow you and watch what you're doing, where can they get more information about you?
We've got a YouTube channel called Ranch TV, and just Ranch TV, just do that search. We have 16 different playlists on there through our A&M activities. One of them is on stockmanship and cattle handling. We've got full-blown clinics up there we filmed and put up on YouTube. Some of them are broken into segments, but it's a lot of people get a lot of good out of that. At least they tell me they do. So that's one of the easier sources. I've done a lot of work with NCBA as well, and you can access some of those resources and other people's resources through bqa.org, O-R-G, and there's a resource page there and a video library as well that we've helped work on over the years.
Awesome. We'll be sure to include those links in our article and help people as much as we can.
All right. If I can help you, let me know.